Tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 87, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the show. So I trust that all of you out there are over your New Year's hangovers by now. If you're not, well, then you've been drinking way too much. It's not like I was really all that hungover. Yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I trusted that all of you have made it out of the holiday season in one piece. Well, hopefully all in one piece anyway. And back to the grind for most of us, including me. Though I'm not really a holiday guy, and to me the grind never really gets all that interrupted. I still kind of keep the same schedule regardless of any holidays or not. But anyway, that is a complete divergence. If you want to hear me talk about more about that kind of stuff, you can go back and listen to my old Tom Harris USA shows over at TomHarrisUSA.com. And I do talk about a lot of different kinds of stuff other than comics. Really don't talk about comics at all over there. So anyway, that's just my kind of biannual plug of my other show, which is kind of inactive right now. So, you know, you're going to find a lot of shows from 2009 and 2010 and 2011. Not so many from 2012 and 13, I have to tell you. Anyway, so we're back to the grind. And what better way to get back to the grind than to move on to our review?
Cross the Rainbow Bridge of Asgard. Booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are going to be covering, just hot off the press, Thor, God of Thunder, number 3. And this issue has a cover date of February of 2013, which is kind of odd when you consider that there actually is no date anywhere on the cover. I guess that's sort of a relic of the days when comics were sold on the newsstand, and I don't really see any need, really, why they should have a cover date. Well, you know, but they do have a cover date inside in the Indicia. But anyway, cover date is February of 2013, retail for $3.99. Cover is by Esad Rebic, and there's a couple interesting and unusual things about this cover. Besides the fact that it really is a very cool cover, it shows Thor, and he's bashing at these shadow dudes, you know, the guard dog servant things of Gore the God Butcher, and they're smashing apart kind of like tar. And he's going, argh, and grabbing one around the neck, and the other one is beginning to bash with his hammer. But there's a couple notable things about this. First of all, Thor has a very obvious hard-on. And it's just the sort of thing that I would notice. So, anyway, so Thor has a hard-on. And he also has a knee where his elbow should be. And I thought his arm looked a little bit weird. And was looking at it, it's like, that is like no elbow I have ever seen in my life. It's like he has two elbows. And I realized that, wait a minute, that's not an elbow joint. That's a knee joint. Now, if I were Stan Lee, and this were 1967, I would say, well, you know, the gods just have a knee where their elbow is, true believer. But because I'm not Stan Lee, thank goodness, and I don't have an elbow on my knee or a knee on my elbow, I'm just going to have to say that this looks to me like a mistake. It looks to me like they just decided to put a knee where his elbow should be. Actually, his arm kind of looks like a leg if you turn it upside down, but it's not, I don't know. Anyway, so he's got a hard on and his knee is where his elbow should be. And it looks like he's doing kind of a funny little jig as well. And we open up to the splash page, which looks very familiar. Yeah, actually, we've seen this splash page before. either last issue or the issue before. And it shows young Thor, present-day Thor, and ancient Thor. And the three of them are kind of standing in a row. And instead of whatever chapter it said that time, it says, The God Butcher, Part 3 of 5, The Hall of the Lost. And, of course, we have the credits. Jason Aaron was the writer. Isad Rebic was the artist. Ives Fortsina is the colorist. Joe Serino was the letterer. Cover artist is Isad Rebic. There's a variant cover by Daniel Acuna, which I don't own. So if anybody knows what that looks like, well, they can let me know. Jake Thomas was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonso was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. Ooh, the executive producer. I think that's just stupid. And I know I've said that before, and I will probably say it again. So anyway, we turn the page and we open up to a beautiful full-page shot here of a library. Not just any library. It is basically the library at the end of the universe. And of course, we have a little bit of exposition here. It was built 12 billion years ago, after the first great war of the gods. From the rubble of the rock of creation and embers from the fire that lit the first stars. It was built by the lords of the dawn, by the first of the elder gods, as a place of divine fellowship. A place where immortals from all corners of reality would forever be welcome. Here eternal treaties are signed, sacred covenants sworn that save the lives of millions. Here gods have married and died. Here worlds were born and bartered. Here is the home of the Parliament of Pantheons and the High Holy Court, the Genesis Bazaars and the Halls of All-Knowing, the moon-sized jewels of the Universal Crown. Here in the center of infinity is the Heaven of Heavens, a sight no mortal eyes will ever see. Here is Omnipotent City, nexus of all the gods. Here have I come seeking answers. And this is Thor, of course, who's narrating this, which is why I kind of read it in Thor's voice. And he is greeted by an elderly being with fairy wings. And he says, Thor of Asgard, I must say, I never expected to see you here again. You were just a boy on your last visit to the Halls of All-Knowing. Brought here by your father to study the old gods, along with that equally charming brother of yours. I must say, you never struck me as someone with a great deal of reading in his future. Though you did strike me in a number of other ways, several times about the legs and hindquarters, from what I remember. My lord, I do apologize for the folly of my youth, but please, I come here seeking knowledge.
Knowledge? Oh my! How exciting! And what knowledge do we have in these dusty old halls that could possibly be of interest to the great Thor of Asgard?
We have no hall of blunt instruments, I'm afraid, nor hall of thunder, unless you count the lavatory where there are troll gods around.
Perhaps the hall of war. There are several mentions of your father there, after all, though most are not exactly of the flattering variety.
I seek the names of gods who haven't been seen in years, who simply disappeared.
Ah, well, in that case, it is my great pleasure to welcome you, Prince of Asgard, to the Hall of the Lost.
And during this whole kind of speech, he's guiding Thor through this kind of labyrinth of bookshelves, and, you know, they're walking upwards and sideways and upside down and all that stuff. I mean, it's all very beautifully drawn. And it's all, you know, kind of interesting in that sort of Neil Gaiman-ish kind of way. I definitely can see a little bit of the Neil Gaiman influence here. Not that I think that Jason Aaron has a Gaiman-esque sort of writing style inherently. I don't think he does, really. But it is a very sort of Gaiman-esque scene. Or maybe in some ways a Douglas Adams-ish kind of scene. It's still kind of cool anyway, and of course the artwork in here is gorgeous, and this old fairy-winged man is, you know, I kind of like the way he looks. He's kind of like Slarty Bartfarst from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which kind of adds to the Douglas Adams-ish sort of view of this. And this Hall of the Lost is this enormous, enormous hall, and it's just full of books, crammed full. And apparently this are books about all of the gods who have not been seen in a long time. And Thor seems alarmed by this fact and says, "The Hall of the Lost. Do you mean to tell me that each of these books and scrolls represents a god who is missing?"
"Gods who are inactive, yes. And who's to say if they're actually been missed or not?"
"This is unbelievable. Why hasn't anyone been alarmed by this?"
"Gods come and gods go, son of Odin. Such is the way of things. And one group never much cares what has become of the other. Why, someday even the great Thor himself may be forgotten."
"Let us hope so, at least. These gods did not simply fade away. They were murdered."
"If it's the Hall of Murder you're looking for, it's down the other way. You'll love it. There's an entire wing devoted to your family."
"I have to see the Parliament. I have to warn the Pantheons."
"Well, best submit your request right away. Last I heard, there's a 200-year waiting list to see the Parliament.
And before you ask..." "No, you may not wait here."
And Thor's poring through the scrolls, and he has this kind of dismayed look on his face as he's looking at the scrolls. And this fairy winged guy goes away, and Thor's thinking to himself,
"So many. I don't know where to start. Could all of these gods really have been murdered by one man? I suppose there's only one way to find out."
And Thor decides that he is going to go on a little tour and check out some of these places where these missing gods have come from. And in the opposite page, we have an ad, house ad for Deadpool Killustrated and their adaptation of Moby Dick, which, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Thor goes off into space and ends up going to this kind of another fairy planet, big trees. Trees beware. Though in the New 52, you know, or the Marvel's version of the New 52, Marvel Now, Thor hasn't been much of a tree killer as of yet. So maybe it's different in this universe. Anyway, we have more exposition because, to be very fair, this is an exposition-heavy issue.
"The Oaken King and Sequoia Queen of Glen Glavenglade, the Garden Eternal, gods of the cosmic seasons, lord of a forest in heaven. No one has seen them for 2,000 years. I find them in the embrace of the forest they love. I find them nailed to their trees. And that isn't all I find. And one of these shadow creatures, the watchdogs of Gore the God Butcher, jumps out at Thor and tackles him. And they, you know, they don't show the fight, but we're led to believe here that Thor has definitely defeated him.
"The war fairies of Wendigorge, the 9 guardians of the Hornwold. It's said they lived in a palace with caramelized walls, in a valley where the skies rained milk and the trees oozed honey. They were last seen 1,200 years ago. These days the trees are strung with gore and the air is black with flies."
Well, you know, if the trees are oozing honey, you have to expect flies, I have to say.
"And when it rains, only maggots fall from the sky.
Ew.
It's raining maggots. Hallelujah."
Oh, sorry.
"I don't have time to bury or burn them. Not while he's still out there. No time to do anything but follow his bloody trail." And these gods are sort of fairy gods. And there's this kind of starving-looking horned horse thing. It's kind of weird unicorn-looking thing. And we shift to another planet, and this one's kind of a tropical sort of planet, and we see that Thor is defeating another one of these watchdog things. He's defeating them awfully easy because he's actually doing it off-panel. But every place he goes, he's running into one of these things. And we see him, you know, killing this other shadow dog thing with a splotch, and he's talking about the coral immortals of Cataract, the walkers of the outer void, the last of the lava colossi, Vord Bloodeye, the Badoon god of beheadings, Zorkiri, the scrawl goddess of love, Yug Slugoth, the unseeable baron of the elder hell, all gods who've been missing for 500 years, all missing no longer. I find god after god dead and rotting. Some alone, some in piles so large I can see them from space. Each book from the Hall of the Lost leads me to more carnage, more eyeless attack dogs, but no god butcher. There's no pattern to his spree. For 2,000 years he has simply crisscrossed creation, killing anything immortal he finds. What does it say about the gods in this universe that no one has ever even noticed or cared? What does it say about me?
Well, it does say that he's been busy, I have to say that. And we open up to a double-page spread here. Gorgeous double-page spread. I have to say, you know, the art in this issue is absolutely top-notch. And Thor is standing on this big, huge, kind of craggy rock thing. And in the background, and the perspective in this is done beautifully, so you can tell that this thing is very, very far away from him. And is abso-fucking-lutely enormous. It's like a mountain-sized, white, sort of dog-dragon-looking thing. And of course, we have more exposition from Thor here. I knew this god, Falagar the Behemoth, a patron god of the galactic frontier, champion of the Tournament of Immortals for 5 centuries straight. They say he wrestled black holes just for fun. I last saw him barely 100 years ago. We passed one another in the spaceways and waved. He's been dead for 5 years, say his mourners. The worshippers who come every day to kneel in his offal and pray for resurrection. Yet nothing stirs within this giant rotting husk. Nothing truly alive, at least. And it's one of those shadow beings kind of crawling out of this dead thing's body and attacking Thor. And Thor's got his hammer out. He's just kind of smashes it with a giant fakoom. Big bolt of lightning incinerating it. And Thor is saying, this is my fault. This god and all of the others died because of my foolishness. But no more. So swears the god of thunder, and he shouts out, no more! As he smashes this other shadow creature with his hammer. And now we have an ad, a house ad, for The Superior Spider-Man #1 by Dan Slott and Ryan Stegman. Weird-looking Spider-Man, which is kind of Kelly Jones-ish. You know, the guy used to do the covers for Sandman back in the 80s. He did some work on Batman covers for a while. Yeah, it looks a little bit like his work in there. I don't think it is. Anyway, so we move on with our story here. And Thor is fighting the shadow beasts, and he's like, yes, keep coming, you mindless beast. Let us send a message to your master. And he's smashing it. Looks like he's smashing him fairly easily. And we get a little bit of more exposition here. Thor thinking to himself, wherever you are, in whatever distant shadow you cower and hide, I hope you feel this butcher of gods. I hope these beings are part of you, and that you feel every second of me beating them to a blackened pulp. I hope you feel it, and know deep down in your wretched yellow bones that your end is near. And we just have a one-panel shift here to ancient Thor. As you remember, he is fighting this huge army of the Shadow Beasts in the future, and we kind of haven't seen a lot of him much in the last couple of issues, but he's just throwing this panel in just to let us know that he hasn't forgotten about him. And so Thor has defeated the next one and decapitated him, and he holds up the Shadow Beast's head, and he's kind of doing the Thor thing and just kind of standing on a mountaintop shouting. It's like, God Butcher, can you hear me? How many more of your dogs must I dismember before you come out and face me, you coward? You want to kill gods? Well, here stands the god of thunder. Come kill me, you worm. Come kill Thor if you dare. God Butcher! And he summons the lightning and is smashing all around and with a cack-thoom. And the caption says, I scream until my throat is raw. Until they hear the rumble of thunder from worlds away. The hammer hangs heavy in my hand, but I cannot stop. I will not stop. Not until I find him. Not until my hands are around his throat and I can look in his eyes and see for myself his regret. So then we have another scene change, and we are back in 893 AD along the banks of the Neva River in what will futurely be known as Russia. Yeah, so as you recall, back in the past, Thor had fought Gore the God Butcher. They'd had that midair battle where the sort of winged horse got its head chopped off and all that. Yeah, you remember that from a few episodes ago. And Thor went crashing to the ground, and he regains consciousness in the tent of his Viking warriors. And Thor awakes with a start. What? Where is he? Where is the God Butcher? Did I kill him? And the Vikings are like, I'm sorry, my lord. We have found only you lying in the snow. Not far from here where we routed the Slavs. Your wounds were, well, anyone but the god of thunder would have died 1,000 times over. You've been asleep now for 7 days. We dared not move you far from where you fell. Not that we could have, even if we'd wanted to. It took 4 of us just to lift your axe.
We've prayed every night for your father's aid and guidance, but as of yet, the Allfather hasn't seen fit to hear us.
And Thor's like, bring me meat, bring me mead, then bring me my axe.
And he goes staggering out of this tent. Looks rather like a teepee here, or a yurt, probably, is probably what it is. And the Vikings are,
whoever dared attack you knows not what manner of god they trifle with, do they, my lord? I cannot wait to see you call down the rage of your father and all of your wondrous friends upon them. The armies of Asgard will march this day.
And Thor goes wandering off into the forest, and we come upon him a few hours later. And Thor is walking through the woods, and he hears a voice.
Are you the Norse god called Thor?
Who asks?
I am. I was. Hinkon, Siberian god of the hunt, the Black Butcher. He said to tell you. He waits for you in his cave along the lake. Just follow the screams. You should not have come alone. And we see that Hinkon is laying up against a rock, and he's got some sort of giant, like, spear or something stuck through him, and he's bleeding all over the place, his leg's been chopped off, etc., etc.
And Thor, being ever boastful, is like, I don't believe you're in much of a position to offer advice in matters of combat, Hinkon, god of the hunt.
True, so true. He came at me out of the darkness. The shadows themselves were alive around him. If I had not been so drunk, perhaps.
There is no honor in the way the god butcher fights, nor will I grant him honor in his death. You have the word of Thor on that.
And Thor turns to leave, and Hinkon is like, please, Thor, before you go.
Yes, of course. Be at peace now, Hinkon. The hunt for you has ended. And Thor lifts up his axe,
I'm assuming to end his misery or whatever. And we shift scenes again, and we are now back in the present day, and Thor is flying around this lake, or the river, or whatever this is, in Russia, and he has company this time. Now he's with Iron Man, a.k.a. Tony Stark, who is flying with him.
My satellites are triangulating, based on the rough coordinates you gave me. You should have something for you soon. This isn't another Viking strip club, is it? Because I had to burn a whole suit of armor after that last one.
We're close. This is starting to look familiar.
Yeah, I'm scanning the geology. Looks like our target should be somewhere over there. Is that the cave?
That is it.
Seems pretty quiet. You sure this is the place you're looking for? A lot of caves around these parts. When were you last here?
1,000 years ago, give or take a few. And they both land, and they're looking at this cave here, and Stark's helmet thing goes up.
Ah, right. That is that sort of business.
I thank you for your help, Stark, but from here I must go alone. And Stark is kind of wondering if Thor needs help here.
I know it's probably none of my business, but when have I ever let that stop me before? I have to tell you, big guy, the look in your eyes right now is really freaking me out. I'd never seen you this unnerved before. What the hell happened to you in that cave? You sure you don't need the Avengers with you on this one?
Stark.
Right, god business. I got it. It's okay. Got plenty of boring old mortal problems to deal with. I'll be on the moon if you need me.
And Thor stops him and says, Stark, wait. All those years ago, I came to this place alone, out of stubborn pride, and I never told another living soul what happened to me here. Now gods are dying because of my silence, because of my foolishness. I cannot make that same mistake again. You were as much a god as any immortal I have ever known, Tony Stark. Please, I could use your help.
And we have a little bit of exposition here.
I tell Iron Man what I know, and send him to Olympus to begin warning the gods of Earth.
Okay, that kind of raises a question. I guess I'll talk about that at the end.
My search for the god Butcher has led me nowhere. No clues where he might be hiding. No idea where he might strike next. So with nowhere else to turn, I'm here. A place I had hoped never to see again.
And he is going kind of in the shallow water here, wading his way towards the cave entrance. And his arm in this panel is drawn really, really weirdly. I don't know whether it's just that this guy doesn't draw arms consistently or what, but again, it looks malformed. And it's a little bit bothersome because, generally speaking, I love Isad Rebic's artwork, but for some reason it's just, his arms are a little wonky here. And we shift scenes again. And we are back in the past for just a page. A lot of jumping around in this issue, and there's more of it to come. unfortunately. I think that the jumping around as a storytelling device doesn't always work particularly well if you're reading it out loud the way I am, kind of describing to you what happens, because it's like jump cuts. And it's a very cinematic device for storytelling and not so much a literary device. And it makes it sometimes hard to tell the story in a way that makes sense. So anyway, we're back in 893 AD, and we have young Thor coming across the cave and discovering it. And this is interspersed with present-day Thor kind of smashing through the rocks and entering the cave. So I'm just going to go ahead and read just the exposition here for you. "I am a young god, as my father always likes to remind me. But compared to my mortal friends, I have lived a very long time. There are thousands of years worth of memories rattling around inside my head. Even in the mind of a god, there isn't room for everything. Memories evaporate over time, such is the price of being immortal. Of much of my distant past, I can recall only fragments and glimpses. Some moments are gone completely. I've forgotten the face of the first maiden I kissed, of the first troll I felled, or dragon I tamed. I've forgotten the first star I walked upon, and the sight of my father smiling. For a god, the lives of mortals seem to pass by in the blink of an eye, which leaves much of my early time on Midgard in an irreparable haze. There are mortal women I know I've loved, and men I've stood by in battle, and who I'm ashamed to say I can no longer recall. But this cave I will remember till the end of time. This is where the god Butcher taught me fear." And we're back in the present day, and Thor is wandering into this cave. And he's using these sort of, they look like the rune stones. I remember the runes, or the Norn stones. Remember the Norn stones from way back in Journey into Mystery? Anyway, it's like this little tiny stone in his hand, and it's glowing like a flashlight. I don't see why he just doesn't use his hammer for light, since that's what he did before. But, okay, anyway, he's using these stones to illuminate the way. And he is calling out, "Allmother, Allmother, can you hear me?" Damn these summoning stones. Oh, okay, well, that's what they are, summoning stones. "Queen Freya, the god of thunder, would have words with thee." And he gets a response through the summoning stones.
"Thor, my boy, is that you? You'll have to speak up. The Congress is meeting, and you know how dwarves get when they're angry."
"My queen, Asgardia and everyone in it is in danger."
"What are you talking about? Have you gotten into trouble again? Please don't tell me your brother's involved."
"Queen Freya, listen to me. You have to call every Asgardian home and lock the gates behind them. Anyone of immortal blood is under threat."
"Thor, what's happened? Under threat by who, Thor?"
And Thor hears a noise and he whirls around. And Thor leaps forward with a roar. And of course, we've shift scenes again. And we're back in 893 AD. And we have young Thor, and he's encountering this cave for the very first time. And he is kind of casts his cloak off, and he's getting ready to enter with his axe in his hand. And he's yelling out, "God Butcher, come out of your hole and let's finish what we started."
"You came alone. I knew you would. Gods are nothing if not predictable, especially when it comes to arrogance."
And Thor leaps forward, going, "Harg!
After our last encounter, you should have realized how lucky you were to survive and fled to the other end of the cosmos. Not that it would have saved you in the end, but perhaps by the time I found you again, I would have forgotten how you hurt me and given you a quick death."
"And you dare call me arrogant?"
Arrgh! And he leaps forward with his axe in hand.
"Now there will be nothing quick about the way you die, God of Thunder. Instead, your suffering will seem as though it lasts to the very end of time."
And we have a leap forward here to old Thor, ancient Thor in the future, fighting against the armies of the god Butcher. And he is being overwhelmed by these sort of shadow things, and he's attacking with his hammer and his sword, and they're kind of swarming over him. You can see that he's been pierced a few times by their shadow blades that come out of their hands. And he's kind of looking kind of rocky here. And he's like, "Arr!
No, I will not fall again, not to you, no matter how many of your black berserkers you send to sully Asgard. Do you hear me, God Butcher? Thor will not fall. Thor will never..."
And he fades to black. and we shift back to the present day. Remember, Thor leapt forward going, "Rarg!" And something is moving in the back of the cave. Well, it turns out not to be the god Butcher. It's this green squid guy, and who knows what the hell he is. Is he a god? Is he, what, an alien? They don't really say. But Thor is leaping forward. He said, "God Butcher, no more running. Time to finish." And he's like, "Wait! Please don't hurt me! I'm not him! I'm not Gore!" And that much is obvious when you see him in the light. He's this sort of squiddly-diddly-looking guy. "Who are you? Why are you in this cave?"
"Hiding from him! Hiding in the last place he would ever look! Don't you remember? Hiding from him! Hiding in the last place he would ever look! Don't you remember? Don't you know what this place is? Everything he's doing now, it's all because of this cave and what you did to him here! It's all because of you, Thor! Gods are dying right now because of you!"
And we get a kind of quick flashes of Thor in the past as he's kind of being attacked by the god Butcher. And we have future Thor's hand dropping his hammer in the shadows. And we have the god Butcher here speaking to young Thor.
"Screaming, yes, there will be much more of that before you die. All gods will scream by the time I am through, down to the very last one."
And we have a to be continued. And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 3. What can I say? Fantastic art in this issue, despite a few problems. I know I complained a little bit earlier about Esad Rebic and the way he draws arms. That seems to be pretty consistent throughout the issue, and I didn't notice it in the prior issues before, but for some reason, the way he draws arms seems to shift around a lot. Sometimes he has very, very large biceps. Sometimes they look almost normal. Sort of the shrinking and growing bicep problem. We've had that with other artists. I think you remember I was talking about the Thor's shrinking and growing chin when Scott Collins was drawing him back in Thor Blood Oath. It also seems to have a tendency, Esad Rebic seems to have a tendency to make it look like Thor is dancing some kind of a jig. I'm not really sure what that's supposed to signify, whether he's just kind of thrusting upward with all of his weight and his opposite foot leaves the ground, but it kind of looks like he's dancing, and he does that a number of times in the issue. I'd make fun of it, except that it's so beautifully drawn that you really kind of don't care. One thing that I noticed, and I just noticed this, I think, for the first time, if I've mentioned it on the show before, forgive me for doing so, but I just realized that the logo on the cover, the Thor God of Thunder logo, is actually the Walt Simonson-era Thor logo recolored. I never really noticed that until this issue, but it is absolutely true. There is a story point that I find a little bit odd here when Thor goes into the cave and he has his glowing stone. It's not so much that he has the glowing stone. He's using it to call Asgard, and he's using the summoning stone to talk to Queen Freya. Now, why would Freya, of all people, be queen? I wonder if Jason Aaron is mixing Freya up with Frigga, because Freya is not the All-Mother. Frigga, I suppose you could kind of make a case for, so I'm wondering if this is a mistake or whether there's going to be some explanation at some point of why Freya would be the queen, when I don't think that she had actually been introduced in the Thor comics before, at least not at any length. Maybe this is one of the differences in this new universe of Marvel now. I just don't know. I guess we're going to find that out in future issues. What to say about the story? Yeah, I think it's moving along nicely. Again, in a lot of ways, it's a lot more cinematic than literary in the structure and so forth. It really does seem as though this Marvel Now imprint is really concentrating on developing properties for movie and TV. It really doesn't seem like they're really intent on doing comics the way they were doing it back then. I suppose that in a way is a good thing, because it means that they're going to be trying some different stuff. On the other hand, it is kind of a bad thing, because it means that if the comic is not successful, or if there's no option made on a movie, or if this property is not picked up on by one of the studios, that we might not be seeing a lot of good comics. It seems like Yeah, both Marvel and DC are trying to milk as much out of these movie franchises and so forth as they can. And it's the sort of thing that I tend to gripe about. But on the other hand, you know, maybe we'll get some good movies about this. I think this story would make a great movie. Maybe Thor 3 should be based on Thor, God of Thunder. I don't know. I think that would be awfully cool, except they'd have to redesign Gore the God Butcher. Come on. I mean, this guy is wearing, like, a really skimpy thong. And I think the design is way too Voldemort-y for me. And I know I talked about that last episode. All right, so that is it for this episode. Yeah, sorry, it's kind of a short one this time, but we will eventually get back to doing a little bit of longer episodes, but you know how it is. Anyhow, thanks very much for listening. And if you want to contact the show, please feel free to do so. You can contact our show at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, and you can join the Facebook group and talk to us there. So, from Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, this is Radio Free Asgard. We'll see you next week.